In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Thinking I came with my Bible to preach the Bible, to preach the gospel. So in our history, when we were becoming Orthodox, before becoming Orthodox, we had really great men that preached to us, Father John Braun, Father Jack Sparks, Father Richard Ballou, and Father Peter Gilchrist. Father Peter was always had his Bible, always brought his Bible with him. Father Jack always had papers, and they were always scattered all over the place. Father John Braun had it always memorized. Father Richard had it written perfectly in his handwriting, every word. I'm somewhere in between all those and not very good at any of it, so... Today we celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the precious and life-giving cross. Today's celebration is centered around the finding of the cross in the 4th century by St. Helena and placing it on Golgotha after many miracles were wrought around the finding of that cross. Secondly, we remember too the return of the Honorable Cross from Persia back to Jerusalem in 628 when the Emperor Heraclius defeated the Persians and brought the cross back to Jerusalem to place it back on Golgotha. One of the great stories, the accounts of that is when he came back, the Emperor Heraclius came with his royal garb on to carry the cross up to Golgotha. He couldn't move. He was like frozen. And the Patriarch Zacharias had a vision and said, "No, the Lord walked this path barefoot and in rags." And so he took off his royal garments, barefoot and in rags, took the cross back, as Christ did. So it's a very beautiful picture of the humility of the emperor around the Holy Cross. So a couple of thoughts centered on this part of the epistle. We preach Christ crucified, says St. Paul, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's what I want to focus on today, is the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But a couple of thoughts. One of the beautiful scriptures we read, and we hear this all the time, kind of a famous verse that's kind of paraded around a bit, sometimes appropriately, sometimes not. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We don't realize that what preceded that was this: "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Then that verse comes. It's that verse is Christ's cross is our salvation. Not just the name of Christ, but his cross is our salvation. Very powerful to see the context of Scripture sometimes. Look at it and go, oh, that's what that means. So very beautiful to see that the power of the cross, the sign of the cross, that cross is our salvation. Secondly, we're all called to bear our crosses. The Lord says to us, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So each of us in this life are given difficulties, crosses to bear, and they're there for our salvation. This is so important to see and understand. What comes to us is for our salvation, to lift us up, to draw us closer to God. We don't have this attitude that the difficult things we want to get over very quickly so we can have a happy life. Yes, we desire that, okay? But the goal of life is to bear those things well, to bear the crosses well. And we'll get into how to do that. But it's really critical to understand and see that the crosses that are given to you are salvific. The difficulties are your salvation. We don't run away from them. We step into them. We lean into them. So we hear too, the servant is not greater than his Lord. So if our Lord was crucified and rose again from the dead, we must too also suffer as he suffered. I remember Father Hopko said one time, there's no resurrection without crucifixion. In other words, you must be crucified to experience the resurrection. And that means different things to all of us, and we'll get into a little bit of that later. So from St. John Chrysostom, the cross is our boast that Christ for my sake took upon himself the form of a slave, bore his suffering for me, the slave. He bore the suffering for me, the enemy. He bore the suffering for me, the unfeeling one. And even so loved me as to give himself up to a curse, that cross, for me. What can be comparable to this? Let us boast in the unspeakable tenderness and that he was crucified for my sake. The beautiful understanding of our life as Christians is that our suffering was borne by Christ first. So when we suffer and are struggling, he can be with us in our suffering, in our struggle. So he can be my firm foundation when I slip. He can be my refuge when I'm overwhelmed. He can be my deliverer when I can't help myself. He can be my strength when I am weak. This is what the Lord did on the cross, to be with us in our difficult situations, each of us. So the cross as the wisdom of God. The Lord gives us these words, that the cross is wisdom for us. We're a bit overwhelmed sometimes by pride and vanity. I am. I'll make this my confession, so you don't have to worry about it. I was reading this, and it kind of struck me a bit to how I view myself and should view myself and should view other people. So one should not give alms, this is St. John Chrysostom, with pride, but rather with humility, considering the one to whom the alms is given to be better than you. Wow. Not just equal, not just like showing pity to someone who is less advantaged. No, to them as better. For you've done it to the one of the least of these, you've done it to me. This struck me like, man, I am so full of pride and vanity. I love helping others, but my attitude sometimes is, oh, that poor person, I want to help them. No, that better person. That person is better than me. We need strong medicine to overcome pride and vanity. Well, let's say, I need strong medicine to overcome pride and vanity. So there's a beautiful prayer that the priest prays, I, your small and weak one, whom dust and ashes, and the chief sinner. I'm the small and weak one. I'm the chief sinner. I'm dust and ashes. See, that's strong medicine to overcome pride and vanity. You know, we go, well, Father, you can't say that. Yes, you can say that. You need to say that. Because humility is there in those words. It defeats pride. So here's another one that I picked up over the years. Consider oneself worse than everyone, expecting love and honor from no one, but giving it to everyone, and you will find peace. That's actually really good. Consider oneself worse than everyone, expecting love and honor from no one, but giving it to everyone. I was thinking about examples of this. This is friends, family, co-workers, when you're driving your car. Anybody have trouble on the freeways? Expect love and honor from no one, but give it to everyone. Be a kind driver. So these are important things. The wisdom of God overcomes, and we crucify Christ with pride and vanity, with this poverty of spirit, but looking ourselves in this way to push down pride and vanity, to lift up humility. So another wisdom of God, overcoming adversity, crucifying the sin of despair. Here's another great saying from St. John Chrysostom. Long suffering is marvelous. Rejoice when you have trials and afflictions. This is like, wait a minute. Kind of open your eyes. It's like it should shock us. Long suffering is marvelous. Here's how he explains why it's marvelous. Because it places the soul in a quiet harbor, freeing it from tossing and evil spirits. Why is that? Why does that happen? If we turn to Christ in our suffering, he is present with us. That's why it's a harbor. It's not because suffering is a harbor. It's because Christ is with us in the suffering. St. Nikolai, affliction attracts the grace of God. Affliction attracts the grace of God. Grace is an inclusive weapon, stronger than all opposition, stronger than all assaults, stronger than all powers of darkness. Grace is invincible and victorious. Why? Because grace is the presence of God in you. Grace is the presence of the kingdom of God in you. You know, God wants us so desperately to come to him. And we hear this in Matthew, his beautiful words, come to me. Hear these words from him. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and labor, and I will give you rest. What's he say? Come to me. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The point here is that God is saying, when you are struggling, what's he want you to do? Come to him. Come to me, you who labor, who are heavy laden, burdened, suffering, and struggling. It's a command. Come to me. Don't forsake that. Understand that that's a powerful thing. When you feel desperate and deep in struggle, come to Christ. That's where that feeling of joy is. That's where feeling of peace is. So don't forsake that. So, cross is the wisdom of God. Now the cross as the power of God. Make sure I got this right. Okay, yeah. I'm like Father Jack today. I'm moving my papers around. They used to fall on the floor, if you remember. He'd fall on the floor. He'd be totally lost. Oh, I love you, Father Jack. The cross is the power of God. So to overcome the devil and sin, we hear this in Ephesians from St. Paul. In time past, you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and power of the air. St. Nikolai. What is the power of the air? It's the order of the evil spirits that exist in constant motion and movement in the air. They corrupt the spirit of man. They draw him into every evil. They incline him to every sin. They do not compel, for their power does not extend that far, but they just corrupt and incline us. That's what's going on. And you feel it sometimes? The temptations? Listen to this. Christ the Lord scattered them. He drew out their poisonous sting so that they were left as empty phantoms, as weak, insubstantial shadows, which vanished instantly at the mention of the name of Christ or the making of the sign of the cross. You can defeat these enemies. You have the medicine. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When that temptation comes, you may need to say it once. You may need to say it twice. You may need to say it 10 times, 100 times. But that will be defeated. That temptation will lose. It will become a phantom. Just to push it away. Poof. It feels strong initially, but the name of Christ and the power of the cross will defeat it. We need to get well practiced at this. When we feel that sin come along, we need to immediately jump in to that prayer and to that sign and be aggressive with it. It wins every time. It's undefeated. So use it. I'm getting a little bold here. That's okay. So the power over sin. But now we come to the power of the blood and the water. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately came out blood and water. St. John's words, not without a purpose. The blood and water came out not without a purpose. Did those fonts come forth? But by means of these two together, the church consists, being regenerated by the water, nourished by the body and blood, the body and blood of Christ. So the water is our baptism, and the blood is our communion. So we are, thank God, baptized into Christ. We're looking forward to that baptism in Christ, knowing that He's with us always. In that baptism, that's very important to remember. In baptism, you are united to the glorified humanity of Jesus Christ. You are connected substantially to that humanity, that glorified humanity. It's said, and it sometimes seems a bit overwhelming to us, but everything that God is by nature, we become in that union by grace. Everything that God is by nature, in that union, we become by grace. That water that flowed from His side, we partake of the united to the glorified humanity and partake of His divine energy. He is then, and we understand this, when we say, He's my righteousness. He's my joy. He's my peace. Why? Because I'm united to Him who is righteousness, who is joy, who is peace. So rejoice in that, beloved. Rejoice. And lastly, Holy Communion. The blood of Christ comes from the crucified side, the power of the cross. This comes from the canon of preparation for communion. I love this prayer. I pray it every night before I take communion. O Master, let me be sanctified in body and soul. Let me be enlightened and saved. Let me become Thy dwelling through the communion of Thy sacred mysteries. Having Thee, most merciful benefactor, dwelling in me, together with the Father and the Spirit. What did you just living in me, together with the Father and the Spirit. Sanctify me, enlighten me, save me, Lord. This is what we do when we come to the chalice. This is our prayer. This is on our knees begging God, please. So these last words very much impressed me and touched me very deeply from St. John. From these mysteries, the baptism and communion, take the beginning. So when you approach this awesome cup, you may so approach as drinking from the very side. the Lord was pierced by a spear that we might partake of his blood and body, as we partake from the very side. You know, sometimes we come up just with, like, it's common. It becomes common. It should never become common. The Lord died on the cross and spilt his blood for our salvation, and we partake of it for our sanctification, enlightenment, and to be saved. So, Lord, we thank you. Bear the cross for us and are with us in our struggles. By the might of the precious and life-giving cross, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.